Welcome back once again to Truth from the Heart with Travis Sullivan. Hope you're having a blessed day. And just as a reminder, you can listen to previous podcast episodes on any major podcast platform like Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And you can also email the podcast at truthfromtheheartpodcast@gmail.com. I'm continuing with Season 2, Episode 3, which I have entitled, Why the Series The Chosen is So Dangerous. And it's one of the most popular series that is out there right now, and it is one that is just filled with biblical inaccuracies, and it is not biblical at all. And I know so many people who love the series, they support the series, and it's just something that God has put on my heart to talk about. And I'm not sitting here trying to tell you that I am right and everybody else is wrong. I'm giving you my perspective and trying to back it up with biblical teaching as well, and also specific examples from the series as to why it is not biblical and why it is so dangerous, especially for those who do not know Christ, because the series leads many to a false Christ. And so that is why I think it's a very important topic to talk about, because anything that leads people to a false Christ is not something that we should be supporting or pushing. We need to bring people to the good news of the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope you'll listen to the previous two parts of this episode, and as I've said, I'm going to continue talking about why the series The Chosen is so dangerous. On the last part of the episode, I started talking about an article that I found on a website called fulcrum7.com, and in this article, the author lists 14 reasons why the series is so dangerous. Again, I agree with many of these. I'm not going to cover all of them, but there are some that I want to talk about or give my commentary on as well. And I did that on the previous part of this episode, so I hope you will tune in for that. So let me continue with that article. Again, it's an article from fulcrum7.com, and the author is Randall Lassell. Again, I'm pretty sure that I pronounced that correctly. So there were several reasons, as I've said, he lists 14 that I talked about on the last episode as to why this series is definitely not biblical and one that we should be supporting. Here's another one, and this one's number 5 in the article. Uplifting Mary. Mary worship was brought into the show by a Roman Catholic influence. And there are people who are Catholic, they would say, no, the church does not worship Mary. The Catholic Church worships Jesus Christ. And I would have to disagree with that, because I know that they've prayed to the Mother Mary. I know they have the Mother Mary all over the place in the church. They've got her in prominent places in the church. Yes, Mary was the mother of Jesus. I'm not going to deny that. That's fine. But she is not to be worshipped. She is not to be the focus point. And in Catholic belief, Mary is above Christ. I'm sure there would be Catholics that would argue with that point and say that's not true. But I would say, for the most part, yes, it is true. And in the show, Mary provides strong emotional support. Jesus says things like, "What would I do without you?" Instead of Christ demonstrating leaning on his Father, as Scripture clearly states. But as I mentioned on the last part of this episode, this series is not worried about being biblically accurate. And I think they even make that clear. They say they go to great artistic licenses or great artistic liberty. Dallas Jenkins is not concerned about whether it's following the Bible or not. He could care less about that. It's trying to be relevant. It's trying to make a series that people can identify with. Christ would never say, "I want to lean on you, Mary. I want to rely on you," because that would be putting his, not his faith, but his reliance on a human rather than on God the Father. Does that make sense? Now, like I said, my faith is in Jesus Christ and I rely on him alone. I can't say that I haven't had that conversation with my mom, because I would say the same thing. What would I do without you? I've said that to people before. It would be hard to imagine my life without you, but I don't rely on them for the outcomes in my life, for what happens in my life, for the direction that I need to go. Does that make sense? I know there are people that would sit there and say, it's not that big of a deal. It's just a simple, what would I do without you? But the point is, we're talking about what the Savior of the world said, and he did not say that at any point in the Bible. He never told Mary or asked her, "What would I do without you?" Because that takes away from him leaning on his heavenly Father. In the first part of this episode, the reason I think that this is in there is, remember who one of the consultants, and I put that in quotes, is on the series? It's a Catholic priest. So does that surprise you that there's a Catholic influence? And for people that would say, well, there's not really a Catholic influence, and I'm going to talk about Mormonism later, there's not a Mormonism influence and all this other stuff. Yes, there is. There absolutely is. You cannot sit there and tell me that Dallas Jenkins does not consult with a Catholic priest and does not take what he says and applies it to the series. Because if you didn't, then what? Why do you need him to be a consultant? What are you consulting them about if you're not going to take what they say? And asking them, well, what do you think about this? Or do you think that Jesus would say this? They don't have a Protestant preacher in there. They don't have a Christian theologian. Is this biblically accurate? Did Jesus say this or would Jesus say this? And again, it doesn't matter what Jesus would have said. It matters what he did say. And that's why there are some of these issues that just, it drives me crazy when people say, well, Jesus didn't specifically say this, so. But then there are things where I'm like, but he didn't say that at all. And yet, you go, oh, well, yeah, Jesus might have said that. He didn't say that at all. And there are some things that he may not say it, but if you read God's word and you understand it, you know what Jesus is talking about. You understand what his position is. He is, as I did an episode and told you the amazing story about my mom finding her biological mother. Jesus does not come out and say that abortion is wrong, but he talks about the value of life and how he's got a purpose for each and every life. So while Jesus does not sit there and say abortion is wrong and abortion should never happen and this, that, and the other, he makes it clear of the value of life. So you can't sit there and say, well, Jesus doesn't value life. He absolutely values life. And he has talked about that in his word that he values life. This is something that he has never said. He had never told Mary, what would I do without you? And speaking on this point, I want to bring up another example from the series. This one I watched as well. And I'm definitely not playing this one. But this one was, to me, one of the most concerning ones of all. And since we're talking about Jesus and his conversations with his mother Mary on the series, as he is about to deliver the Sermon on the Mount, in this series, let me be very clear, on the series, he tells her, I hope I don't mess up and that I'm a little bit nervous. And she says that I wish your father was here to see you. And she wasn't talking about his heavenly father. She was talking about Joseph. Well, first off, Dallas Jenkins, how dare you blaspheme my God and my Jesus? How dare you? Because my Jesus would never say, I hope I don't mess up. That is one of the biggest blaspheming things I've heard in quite some time. Yes, Jesus was fully human and fully God, but he would never have said, I hope I don't mess up. Again, he added that in there for the theatrical part of it. I watched that and it broke my heart because, as I've said, I've got a heart for Jesus. I love him. I love him so much. I hope you as a Christian would say the same thing. You love God. It would be like somebody saying something bad about your family. Is that not going to stir something up in you? Almost like a fire of how dare you say something about my family because you love them. So Dallas Jenkins, how dare you blaspheme my God? How dare you say that he would say that he hopes he doesn't mess up and that he's nervous? Jesus would never say that. And that tells me right there that Dallas Jenkins is not a Christian and that he doesn't know his Bible. He can claim to be a Christian all he wants, but when you blaspheme God, oh, ho, 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 you are treading on thin ice. I can tell you that right now. God is a patient God. He is a forgiving God, but he holds his name in high reverence. And when you are blaspheming him, oh my goodness, that is not going to be something that you want to be around to watch the end of how that's going to end. Here's my other thing. Here's the other reason why I make the argument that Dallas Jenkins is not a Christian. I think any true Christian wants to lead others to the true Jesus. And that is clearly not leading people to the true Jesus or portraying the true Jesus. So to me, I don't understand how you can sit there and say, well, Dallas Jenkins is a Christian or he knows Christ. He does not know Christ. And then the part about, I wish your father was here, and she was referring to Joseph. No, because Jesus' heavenly father is God Almighty. He is the Son of God who came to seek and to save the lost. And of course, God was with Jesus everywhere he went, just like he's with us everywhere we go when Jesus is the Lord of our lives. I watched that and I just had to stop because I said, I can't watch that anymore. And it broke my heart. It broke my heart that a series, Jesus is the main character, would blaspheme God so bad. I mean, you may as well just have Hollywood come in and take over and have Disney give their perspective of Jesus, which, of course, is all a whole nother misconception. Because it, to me, it's the same thing. All the fakes are the same. They are all fake or false Jesuses. There is only one true Jesus. And look, I understand that the Bible is not an easy book to get through. Not all parts of it are interesting. Not all parts of it are, well, that's very fascinating, and this, that, and the other. I realize, you know, the book of Numbers is just what it says, a book of numbers. Now, it's not all numbers, but there are a lot of things in there. And, you know, when it was talking about Noah building the ark, it gave the dimensions of it and how big it was and went into great detail. But that's all stuff that we need to know, and we need to understand that. There is nothing in the Bible that we can just say, well, we don't really need that part, but we need this part. Or, well, I'm going to expound upon that part myself, because you're not writing God's word. It's not inspired by God. The word of God is inspired by God, but what you think is not. Here's another one that just, oh my goodness, I'm telling you, watching these clips got my blood pressure up. I already have a little bit of high blood pressure, but I tell you, it about went through the roof watching these clips because I can't understand how people that claim to be Christians and that claim to know the Bible are okay with watching this stuff. I don't understand it. How can you be okay with this? It's portraying a Jesus that's not real. It's not portraying the Jesus of the Bible. So why in the world are you watching it and supporting it? And here's another one. This is point number 9 in this article. Jesus is arrested by Roman soldiers prior to the Mount of Olives. And that is a story that is not found anywhere in the Bible. I watched this scene as well, and it looks like he's arrested on the beach or something, and the disciples are just sitting there, you know, chilling or they're asleep. No, he was praying in the garden on the Mount of Olives. And as he was arrested, Peter pulled out his sword and tried to defend his Lord. And you've heard me say this before, I love Peter. And that's a natural human instinct to try and come out and defend somebody. But Jesus doesn't need our defense. God doesn't need us to defend him. He's more than capable of defending himself. So as mad as I can get about Dallas Jenkins and the series blaspheming God, he doesn't need me to come out and defend him and say, well, this is why, or this is what God thinks, or this is, he can defend himself. He always has, and he always will. To not call sin, sin is a sin. I'm not trying to play on words. I'm not trying to make a cute little thing there. Not calling out sin is a sin, and that is a sin to blaspheme our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then this whole thing about being arrested in the garden, I don't necessarily agree with some of his theology and some of his points that he makes, but John Hagee has some videos out there that are inspirational videos. And on one of the videos, it's called God Hates a Coward. And he said Jesus was no coward. There were several thousand soldiers that came to the garden to arrest one Jewish rabbi. And as they said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth, they fell on the ground like dead men. And I may post the link to that video so that you can see it because it's so, so powerful. They knew who Jesus was. Why would you send 2,000 soldiers to arrest one Jewish rabbi? You don't think they knew who he was? And then, as I said, Peter pulled out his sword to cut off the ear of Malchus as they tried to arrest Christ, and Jesus healed him and put his ear back on. You don't think Malchus became saved? You don't think he believed he was the Son of God? We don't know. It's not in the Bible. When I finally get done with making all my points, I'm going to give you several verses that are in God's Word that talk about the importance of God's Word and adding and taking away from it and how we're not supposed to do that. And hopefully those verses maybe ring a bell for you and you start to understand why this series is so dangerous. And that was another one that surprised me as I was sitting here going, why is Jesus not praying when he's arrested? It's like they just show up and they're just like, hey, we're here to arrest you. And just the audacity And not just the audacity, but just the casualness of, well, we're just going to change this up a little bit because it doesn't matter that Jesus was praying and say, Lord, if you can take this cup from me, take it from me, but your will be done. He was sweating blood. He was praying so hard. And the sleeping disciples and the fact that they were willing to defend him. I mean, I think in the series, like I said, I can't even remember the whole scene, but all the disciples pull out their swords. Well, of course, again, that's not true. It tells us in the Bible that Peter was the one that did, because Peter was the rock that Jesus built his church on. Peter was the one that was that one that tried to stay by Christ throughout the entire time. He loved Christ, as they all did. I'm not trying to take away from them, but Peter is the one. I could see Peter being just sort of this bombastic figure, as you've heard me talk about Peter before. This sort of this over the top, would do anything for his Lord, including trying to defend him. And I was telling, as I said, my mom and I teach a Bible study for children. And I said, did y'all know that all the disciples were martyred except for the apostle John? John was the only apostle that died a natural life. Now, he died on the island of Patmos, but even still, he was the only one that basically died a natural life. All the rest of them were martyred or killed. And Peter was crucified. But Peter said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. So Peter was crucified upside down. You don't think Peter loved Christ? Oh, he sure did. So again, there is another big depiction, and I didn't mean to get off on a tangent here on Peter, but there is another depiction that should ring many flags, that they just have Jesus arrested, you know, just whenever in the story, because it kind of fits and it kind of goes along, and that's not what the Bible says at all. And that should be something that's very concerning. Once again, we're getting close to the 20-minute mark, so let me go ahead and say another prayer for us, and then I will continue on in the next part of this episode. Lord, thank you for today, and thank you for your word. Lord, I hope that people understand the value and the importance of your word through this episode, really through this entire podcast, but especially this episode, that they would come and read your word and see what your word says and not rely on what television or what they see on television or this fake portrayal that they see in this series. I pray that they would turn to your word and let the Holy Spirit speak to them in their lives. And Lord, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for us. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. Once again, I do appreciate you tuning in, and I hope you'll continue tuning into the parts of this episode as I continue Season 2, Episode 3, Why the Series The Chosen is So Dangerous. And this one may be one of the most controversial episodes that I have done. There are many people that they love the series, they support the series, they don't see anything wrong with the series, but we are hitting some key points of why this series is dangerous, especially for non-believers, because it leads them and it portrays a false Christ and a false narrative. I hope you will continue listening and also listen to the previous parts of this episode as well. This is Truth from the Heart with Travis Sullivan. Remember, Jesus is King, Maranatha, and God bless until next time.